Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, 97.3 The Fan's coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings is presented by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of the end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal. You'll love it. Their Happy Honda Sales Day event. Visit SD Honda Sales or SDHondaDealers.com. And again, they're going to be our big sponsor for the Winter Meetings next week down in downtown San Diego. Well, right now, before we get back to the phones, we're going to go out. We're going to talk a little USC football. I'm very anxious to hear what this gentleman has to say. The Trojans finished the regular season at 8-4, 7-2 in the Pac-12 conference. They're obviously waiting to find out where they're going to be headed for a bowl. And we're joined by Ryan Karchi, who covers the Trojans for the LA Times. Ryan, good day to you, and hope you and the family had a great Thanksgiving last week.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that. Now just waiting anxiously to hear what the next bit of news is. I've just been sitting by my phone and computer all day.
Well, let me ask you what you were doing on Sunday when Sports Illustrated put out an erroneous story that Clay Helton had gotten fired. How did you have to react to that, even though it proved to be untrue?
You know, I would say I reacted in the same way that any journalist should react in that sense, is with a sense of being skeptical and, you know, checking with the appropriate sources to kind of verify that. And what was made very clear very quickly was how upset, one, USC was that a report like that came out, and two, that most parties involved seemed to think it wasn't true, at least at that point. That's where it gets a little gray in this situation, because there is still a chance that Clay Helton could get fired. We're very much, you know, I wouldn't say I'm leaning one way or the other on either of those things being more likely. But at this point, you know, it hasn't been proven untrue, but it certainly didn't seem to be true at the time. So kind of a confusing situation, and it's one that makes my life a little more confusing the last few days.
Ryan Karchi from the LA Times, who covers the USC Trojans, join us here on 97.3 The Fan. The Trojans finish 8-4. They go 7-2 in conference play. I think considering a lot of the problems that they were having to deal with, namely injuries, and of course, right from before the season ever started, the question about Clay Helton's long-term future. I thought they had a pretty good year, and I actually thought he did a really nice job. And again, I'm not covering the team like you are. You know, I'm on. Sure. I'm watching the games every Saturday they're playing. I thought he did a pretty good job. In fact, I'm not so sure he didn't do maybe the best job he's done since he took over as the Trojans head coach.
Yeah, I think that's that ridiculous of a thing to say. I mean, I do think you look at the stretch that he had leading up to the Rose Bowl when, you know, obviously they won 9 games in a row with Sam Darnold. Now, I would probably say that's probably the best stretch he's had, but the last 6 games, especially of this season, you do have to give him some credit. I mean, they won 5 of 6. Their only loss was to Oregon, who obviously is going to be playing to get into a New Year's Six Bowl this weekend. But at the same time, it kind of just depends on what scope you choose to view Helton through. And a lot of the fan base has already decided they're going to view him through a negative scope. What went wrong this season? And there were things that went wrong. I mean, Clay Helton said he was going to improve. He specifically handed off his duties on the offensive side to focus on being a CEO, kind of installing more discipline and kind of changing the way they go about turnovers. And bigger picture stuff. Those things didn't really get any better this year. The inconsistencies from the past few seasons were still there. So if you look at it through that scope, then, maybe Clay Helton didn't necessarily do the sort of job that they needed to see for him to be retained. But at the same time, I'm not sure it matters exactly what happened on the field this last year. I think it's become a question of the bigger picture. And now you look at things like recruiting, Clay Helton's class is currently ranked 76th right now in the nation by 24/7. That's far too low for USC, a team that should be in the top 20 or at least 25 every single year. Some of those big picture issues, I think, are going to be there regardless. So it's kind of a question for new athletic director Mike Bone. Does he decide to maybe ignore the recent success when he just first stepped in and trust the opinions of other people who have been around the program, saying, we're not heading in the right direction right now?
Well, Ryan, maybe I'm an old school guy. You said, they should be maybe in the top 20 or so. I think they ought to be in the top 10. I mean, they're in the second biggest media market in the world. They've got a tremendous, talented group of football players all over Southern California. And Southern California gets poached by, other schools in the Pac-12 because there is so much talent. And they've just kind of lost that edge. And I think, people can blame Clay Helton, but, it's been an ongoing thing. I mean, from Lane Kiffin to Sarkisian to, the interim tag on Helton. And, they've kind of lost the last few years, even though, they're three years ago, they won the Pac-12 title. Last year was a disaster. This year has been much better. But they've kind of lost their strong arm on Southern California.
And yet the expectations are still as if they have that strong arm.
Right.
So that's kind of what creates this dissonance between people who are looking at it objectively and thinking, hey, Clay Helton finished 8-4. He's done some things well. Why isn't that enough? There are still people, thinking of the Pete Carroll era. Whether that's fair to Clay Helton or not, it's not up to me to decide. But I do think recruiting-wise, you can have success recruiting here. The number of players who have left for Clemson and Alabama and schools across the country, especially in the SEC, has to be concerning. And you have to get someone in here who just generally is capable of reeling those players in, especially the most talented five-star players who are in the area. And Clay Helton has done that to some regard. And I do think he does deserve credit for unearthing a recruit like Keaton Slovis, the freshman quarterback who came in this last year. He was an overlooked three-star and immediately stepped in and looked like a future NFL player this year. So I do think he maybe doesn't get enough credit in some senses for unearthing players like that. But at the same time, you're not going to win national championships unless you're keeping the top talent from the L.A. area in L.A.
Okay, we're visiting with Ryan Cartry from the L.A. Times. And, let's play devil's advocate. Let's say that Clay Helton, he coaches a bowl game. They win their bowl game. They carry him off the field. It's his final game at SC. They decide to go a different direction. Clay Helton's going to get another job. He's done a good enough job. He's going to get another opportunity to be a head coach. Chris Peterson, who just left Washington yesterday, is the head coach, going to stay on in some capacity, quote unquote. We'll see where that goes. He's not the guy that's going to bring in national recruits. There's only one guy out there that's available right now. That's Urban Meyer. We heard before Mike Bone was hired that, Carol Folt, the new president, doesn't want to bring in Urban Meyer. But if SC wants to get back on the national stage in a hurry and a guy that can bring in national recruits, it's Urban Meyer. What are you hearing?
Well, that's definitely where fans are looking. And he's kind of been the object of frustrating fans' desires for months now. This isn't necessarily a new thing. But at the same time, I know you mentioned the fact that, Carol Folt has been rumored to not be happy with the idea of hiring a coach with integrity issues, and I've done some of my own reporting that would bear that out. But, I do think it's important to note that we don't actually know exactly exactly how all of these people feel about Urban Meyer. It's still a possibility. I wouldn't rule out any possibility at this point, but Urban Meyer has kind of said in the past that, you know, there are reasons why he retired. And I do think that is something that USC fans are quick to forget, that, you know, if it were just, if only the administration could figure this out, then Urban Meyer would be the coach. And I do think there are two sides to that equation. And, you know, it's tough to talk about a guy when the current coach still has his job. So I do think there's a lot of interesting conversation going on around about that, but most of it is just sort of speculation. Athletic director Mike Bone has really kept things quiet, and I think that's a departure from how things have been in the past at USC, where, you know, several different interests have made their interests known just generally through the media and elsewhere. So it's kind of been interesting to see how quiet things have been. And, you know, for all the rumors about Urban Meyer, we haven't really heard anything definitive on that front.
Ryan, I got two questions for you. We're visiting with Ryan Karchi from the LA Times. He covers the USC Trojans. Number one, Tom Herman has blown out three coaches, an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, his quarterback's coach. I heard there's a rumor out there that they may want to talk to Graham Harrell, the offensive coordinator of USC. You hearing anything about that?
That rumor is definitely floating out there. What my sort of read on the situation generally has just been that the timing is interesting. Obviously, Graham Harrell himself doesn't know whether he's going to have the USC job in a few days. If Clay Helton were to be fired, there's no real sense on whether Graham Harrell would keep the job. I think it would matter who ends up being the head coach. So I think you could look at that and think, oh, Graham Harrell's agent is floating his name out there just to ensure that he at least has a backup plan. And if things go awry at USC, and they very well could. At this point, from what I know about Harrell and what I've talked to from people who know him, I don't know that he'd be that quick to jump if things were to stay the same at USC. I know towards the end of the season, it was clear that he really started to find a rhythm with the offense, and it would be tough in his situation to leave a quarterback like Keaton Slovis, who you believe in so much. You were clear from day one, has the special ability to take USC's offense to a level it hasn't been in a long time. So I do believe him when I hear him talk about Keaton Slovis in that future. So I think at this point he's probably more likely to stay if all things stay the same. But there's so much uncertainty right now, I don't blame the guy for just looking around and considering what his backup plan might be.
No, I don't either. And actually, what he's done at USC might get him a head job at a lower division, or a Division One, a program in one of the lower level Division One conferences. We'll have to wait and see. Hey, Ryan, as I let you get out of here, and I know you're waiting, and there are a lot of things flying around right now in college football. What are you hearing? What are the Trojans hearing about a bowl game? I'm hoping they come to the Holiday Bowl.
A possibility. It seems to be at this point it'll either be the Holiday Bowl or the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. And it really depends on what happens with the Pac-12 title game this weekend. If Utah wins and is put into the college football playoff, then you're looking at a scenario where the Alamo Bowl, being there, it's one spot ahead of the Holiday, would probably take USC. But if Utah doesn't end up in that bowl game, or in the college football playoff, then they'll be picked down a notch, which will then kick Michigan to Alamo, which then kicks USC to Holiday. So there's definitely a chance that they end up there, and I think that would be the third time Clay Helton, if he's still the coach, will have coached in the Holiday Bowl in 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, not too bad. It's a fun bowl game.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. Well, hey, Ryan, I know you're a busy man. Thanks so much for the time, and thanks for all the great information today.
Great. Thanks so much.
There you go. Good guy. Ryan Karchi from the LA Times shedding some light on the USC Trojan picture. You know, Ryan's the nicest guy in the world, Braden. When you talk to him, nicest guy in the world. You can tell just in his voice, he's waiting for Clay Helton to get fired.
Yeah, you could tell. He's that's what he said in his email when I was trying to track him down. He said, well, until breaking news happens, I should be good for this time. I don't know what other breaking news you'd be looking for. I don't think it's anything political. I think it might be something involving USC football program.
All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll update you on our Aztec poll on Twitter today. Again, if you'd like to be a part of it, go to our Twitter at 97.3TheFanSD. All the information's up there. Vote. I want to get to your phone calls as well, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. The John Quintero Show to 3, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .123 the time. Braden and I having a great time. Hope you enjoy our program each and every day at 12 to 3. Next week, of course, we're going to be down at the winter meetings. Really excited, you know, being obviously a huge baseball fan, really excited about being there. I was at there a couple of years ago. My first winter meetings, Braden, I would have to go back and say we're probably 1985 or 1986. A guy named Al Kupsky, who was a great scout for the Kansas City Royals. I was a junior college coach here in San Diego, and he invited me to do some work with the Kansas City Royals, go out and scout some players. And he invited me to the winter meetings. That's the first time I ever went. It was at the Town and Country down there in Mission Valley. And it's like a kid in a candy store. I mean, we're going to be walking around next week. Hey, there's Joe Torre. Hey, there's Rob Manfred. Hey, there's that guy. Here's this guy. It's like crazy. And you know what's really cool about it? And we're going to be broadcasting, 12 hours a day for 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by the San Diego Honda dealers, and we certainly appreciate their support. But what is really cool about it is there's a big portion of the hotel we're going to be in next week that you don't have to have credentials. So Padre fans, baseball fans, you can come to this event. It's going to be really neat.
I'm looking forward to it. I got to work the All-Star game when it was here, and it kind of reminds me of that. I've never been to a winter meetings before, but I'm sure it's the same deal, except more more players, more agents, more executives, and more people in baseball attending this than maybe the All-Star game. The All-Star game was a cool experience, though. I enjoyed that.
No question about it. Hey, also coming up in the next 30 minutes, now I want people to listen because if our biggest fan doesn't call in today, you're going to have an opportunity to claim this, but you need to listen in the next 30 minutes. If your name is called, you give us a call back in about 10 minutes. You'll win a family four-pack of tickets at 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night. That's coming up on Friday, December 13th during the SeaWorld Christmas celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights in the all-new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland On-Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. If you call back in time, you'll also be entered to win our grand prize, the perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter, and we'll keep you up to date on that. And we'll probably also kick off the holiday season. We're going to give you a little bonus pair of tickets to the Doobie Brothers, and we'll tell you more about that. But again, hang in there for the biggest fan. We'll be announcing that in the next 30 minutes. Also coming up at 1:35, Martin Gallegos from the East Bay Times. He covers the Oakland Athletics. Wanted to get his thoughts on the Jerks and Profar deal, what he thought of Profar last year, and where does Austin Allen, the left-hand hitting catcher the Padres traded to the A's, good guy, where does he fit in with the A's behind the plate? Our phone number, if you'd like to get in, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Talking a lot about Profar. Some people like it, some people don't. I think it's a good deal. My question to you folks today, where do the Padres go from here? What should be their next move? They've got an outfielder in Trent Grisham. They got a starting pitcher last week in Zach Davies from the Milwaukee Brewers. I think we're both very nice acquisitions. I think if you really look closely to the Profar deal, it's a no-brainer. This guy was signed by A.J. Preller. He, at one point in time, was the numero uno prospect in all of baseball, and he's still only 26 years of age. He's underperformed for what people projected. He had a serious injury with a shoulder that cost him two full years of development, and he's playing a little bit of catch-up right now. But do you like the move, and what move should the Padres make? You know, Braden, for me, I think really the next move, they got to continue to, you know, mine for starting pitching, but they got to figure out what they're doing behind the plate, because I'm not satisfied with either one of these catchers.
Yeah, and you just got rid of Austin Allen, but we didn't think he'd be a starter anytime soon for the San Diego Padres. But you got Austin Hedges and you got Francisco Mejia. You got a guy that can hit and you got a guy that can defend. You know, and it's too bad you can't just combine the two and make a really good catcher for the San Diego Padres. But they do need to figure out whether or not they're going to go with both those guys, whether or not they're going to go with one of them. Maybe they need to go make a move and go pick up somebody else. All I know is last year that they were really in on JT Realmuto. That should have been red flags.
All he did was win the Gold Glove this year.
Well, that was, you know, Austin Hedges really wanted that Gold Glove.
Yeah, we'll hit 200, then you might be in the conversation.
But anyway, that should have been red flags for Francisco Mejia and Austin Hedges to begin with. And then now after the two seasons that they had, you might have some, you know, some talent in Francisco Mejia in terms of hitting, but the problem is his catch framing and, of course, calling a game and, you know, pitchers being comfortable with him.
He got one of the best arms in all of baseball at any position.
He almost killed Kirby Yates in Atlanta last year. I mean, that ball was a missile that just went right past Kirby Yates.
I don't care what position you're talking about. That guy's got as good an arm as you're ever going to see.
He's got a great arm and he's got a pretty good bat as well, but they got to figure that spot out, especially. You want an update on the poll, by the way?
Yeah, I'd like an update. Now, we put this poll out, and go ahead and read the poll for everyone because I want people to vote in this.
Our coach, John Quintero, or Coach Quintero 44, that's his official Twitter account, wants to know, Aztecs went 9-3 this season. How would you evaluate their 2019 season? Vote or call in to give us your opinion. The options are great with the smiley emoji, good with the emoji. Those are the three options.
Crunched emoji.
53% of the people have said good, 30% have said disappointing, and 17 have said great. We've read a couple of the comments. Jeff in Carlsbad, that's at GML Carlsbad, says, if they had any above average offense, it would have been great, so close to great, but not yet. So I think he voted for good in that sense. Rondo Cheese, who we said earlier, again, the big softball player, as I could tell by his profile, he said it was disappointing, and the Aztecs probably could have been in a lot better situation than they are right now. So we want to hear from you. You can call us at 833-288-0973 or, of course, Joe on 97.3 The Fan Twitter page at 97.3 The Fan SD to vote on that poll.
Hey, read that percentage again of the three.
53% says the Aztecs have had a good season. 30% they've said the Aztecs have had a disappointing season. And 17% have said the Aztecs have had a great season.
Okay, so I was right in the middle. I said good, so I'm the 54% right now.
There you go.
Huh?
I'm with the 30%. I think it's a little disappointing.
Well, you know what?
I'm not upset. Like, it's not at the end of the day. It's not
you know what?
Like,
you just haven't seen
season.
Enough of Aztec football
no,
over the years. You remember the last 10 years. I remember the last 40 years. And, well, I'll tell you what. After they got run off the field back in the late 70s against BYU, that set the football program back at San Diego State for about 20 years.
Hey, I used to go to Aztec games with my parents and their college friends when I was like 1 and 2 years old. All the newly Aztec alum, we used to go to tailgates. I got pictures of me wearing a little Aztec hat, getting fired up for Aztec football back in the late 90s. But on that, yeah, watching Aztec sports have been
A little bit painful
it's
at times.
It's a little frustrating. And in fact, you see those notable win shirts or those moral victory T-shirts? Brings a tear to my eye.
Hey, but tomorrow
time.
Night the boys open up at Moby Arena there in Fort Collins against Colorado State. Nico Carvacho, their big stud there at Colorado State, waiting for the Aztecs. Wouldn't this be like the Aztecs? They get off to this great start.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't even say
I'm
it.
I'm not going
don't
to.
Don't even say
because
it.
I don't think Colorado State's that great. They'll be all fired up.
Don't
and
even
they'll
say
sell it.
It
out tomorrow night. My brother and his wife are going to be there tomorrow night. They're season ticket holders for the Colorado State Rams. And I told them the other night on the phone, we had a conference call. You know how goofy my family is? My son-in-law calls. He's a Denver Bronco fan. And he's
that's unfortunate.
Well, he thought it was a great pass interference call, okay?
Biased.
So I go, you know what? Call my brother. So he calls my brother, and we have a conference call to discuss the pass interference penalty. And my brother saw my point. He's also a former defensive back. But we had a conference call to discuss the Charger, Casey Hayward's pass interference on Courtland Sutton on a Sunday night.
Record a podcast next time.
That was unbelievable. I couldn't believe my son-in-law was so fired up because I go, you know what? There's no way that's pass interference. There's no way. I was really upset. That call, and I wasn't even rooting for the Chargers the other day. That was a bogus call. I'm sorry.
I thought it was bogus as well, and I don't root for the Chargers either. But go ahead, Broncos. Hang your 2-0 against the Los Angeles Chargers banner over there at Mile High.
And tomorrow we'll definitely preview that ball game tomorrow night. The conference opener for the Aztecs there in Fort Collins against Colorado State. We'll track someone down and get a little scouting report on the Rams. When we come back, we're going to go up to the Bay Area. We're going to visit with Martin Gallegos, who covers the A's for the East Bay Times. Want to get his thoughts on Jerks and Profar and how Austin Allen will fit in with the Oakland Athletics organization. We're going to 3 o'clock, the John Quintero Show, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. One 38 the time. We're going to get to our guest here real quick, but we got Bench the Coach coming up here about 1:50. So if you'd like to be a part of Bench the Coach today, we're going to tell you exactly what you're in for.
Bench the Coach today. So yesterday we did the top 12 or the 12 linebackers that have made the All 100 team according to NFL.com. So now I want to know about the top 14 linemen, the 14 linemen, defensive linemen that have made the all-time team. So think about the best 14 defensive linemen to ever play in the NFL, and you'll win tickets to the Seals.
All right. We'll have a four-pack to the Seals home opener. Again, if you want to be a part of Bench the Coach, 833-288-0973. We head out to our next guest. Very happy to have this gentleman. His name is Martin Gallegos. He covers the Oakland Athletics for the East Bay Times. Martin, how are you today? Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I'm great. How you doing?
Good. You coming to the winter meetings next week?
Yeah. Yep. I'll be down there. And should be a pretty exciting time in baseball.
Oh, it certainly will be. We're pretty excited about hosting the winter meetings here for the second time in about 3 years. Martin, we want to find out a little bit about Jerks and Profar. You know, we remember him as a young ball player coming up through the Rangers organization as the top prospect in baseball. He missed a couple of years due to a shoulder injury, and last year was his only year with the Oakland Athletics. Give us kind of your thoughts on him and what kind of deal you think it is for the Padres.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a guy that, as you mentioned, I mean, at one point he was rated the top prospect in all of baseball, and the talent is clearly there. I mean, we saw it when he arrived in spring training. I mean, you could tell why the Rangers thought so highly of him. It just overall, the raw talent, it's just incredible to watch. I mean, he's so athletic. His hitting abilities are through the roof. I think this at least has a ceiling to be through the roof. He could be a pretty good power hitter, you know, for his size. It's kind of incredible to see. And, you know, on defense, he's made some pretty great plays. The one problem with him last year was just his throwing ability. Is something happened there where he just, you know, everyone was saying it was the yips. They don't want to say it was the yips, but, you know, it got to a point where the A's just didn't feel comfortable playing him at second base every day anymore. So, you know, that's one issue that will be interesting to see how that gets handled in San Diego. If he's the everyday second baseman, is, you know, if he's taking those balls from Machado and Tatis over on that left side, can he turn that double play consistently? Because, you know, that could be an issue if you're letting base runners get on close games, late inning situations, you know, that can cost you. So those throwing issues are something that has to be fixed, but, you know, he's a talented guy. He didn't hit to his potential. I think last year only hit about 218. So, you know, he does have to bounce back there a little bit, but he showed flashes throughout the season of that prospect that was thought so highly of, and he's still pretty young.
Why would they want to trade him right now? He is still very young, and really the year before when he was with Texas, he played a lot of shortstop and third base, and last year they bring him in to play second. Why were they willing to move him?
Yeah, I think it's just they were in a position where they have a lot of depth. They were going to have to pay him a little bit more through arbitration, and I don't think they wanted to go in the direction next year of him being the everyday second baseman. I think the throwing issues just kind of led them to saying, okay, if we're going to bring you back, it's going to be in a utility role. Mm-hmm. And as far as utility guys, they already have a guy like Chad Pinder in the fold who can play pretty much every position besides pitcher and catcher. So they're set there as well. And they've got young second baseman who they have to kind of give a look to here with Sheldon Noisy. And they got guys like Frank Liberetto and Jorge Mateo, two top prospects in the organization, who are both out of options this year. So Profar kind of became that expendable piece here, and I think he was going to get non-tendered. It was a possibility he was going to get non-tendered. They saw they were able to get a pretty good hitting catcher in Austin Allen. It seems like maybe the defense isn't there, but at least they have a potential there to get a backup catcher, which was something that they were trying to look for. So they pulled a deal on this. But I think it was more just having depth at the position more than anything.
We're visiting with Martin Gallegos, who covers the Oakland Athletics for the East Bay Times. Nice enough to join us today here on 97.3 The Fan. Martin, talk a little bit about Profar as a right-hand hitter opposed to being a left-hand hitter. What did you see?
Yeah, it's a little odd there because he seems to have a little bit more power hitting from the left side, but he hits for more contact from the right side. So it's a little bit of an odd split there. But I think as the year went on, they were comfortable throwing him out there against lefties and righties. It didn't really matter. I think it's just more the defense with him. I think the offense, I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's too good of a hitter to have put up that .218 number he did. He got off to a really slow start last year. I think the defensive stuff might have affected him at the plate a little bit. But I think hitting-wise, like, the Padres shouldn't have anything to worry too much there about the bat. I think the bat's going to be there, even in a bigger park. That shouldn't be an issue there. I think he's a supremely talented hitter, and I think he's still getting better. He's still pretty young, so he's still kind of figuring things out. I think early on in his career, he kind of got by on just his raw talent alone. And maybe the fundamentals were kind of late to catch up. I think he's still trying to catch up on that. But I think that's something that, you know, as he gets older, he's kind of learning a little bit more. He's maturing. He's definitely a hard worker. So it's not a question of, you know, whether he's going to work at it. I think he's going to be a pretty good hitter in this league. So that's not the issue.
You know, Martin, it's kind of interesting. I was looking at his numbers each of the last couple of years. And, you know, 2 years ago, his last year there with Texas, he hit, I think, .254, if I'm not mistaken, with the 20 home runs. Last year, he hit .218 with 20 home runs. But each of those years, for a guy that's had, you know, over 400 one season and over 500 another season, he really doesn't strike out all that much.
Yeah, no, he definitely puts the ball in play. And that's something that the A's really liked. I think that was the reason why they went after him is, you know, they want guys who, you know, can get the ball and play, you know, not strike out a whole lot. And that was the one thing he did last year, even through the struggles, was making sure that he gets the ball put in play. And, you know, led to him being, you know, hitting pretty high up in the lineup for a lot of the time because of that. Eventually, he did get moved down a little bit more. But, I mean, that's a valuable asset, a valuable skill to have in this league, especially nowadays where you're seeing so many strikeouts. You know, he's a guy who doesn't really do that a whole lot. He can put the ball in play you know, in situations where you need a run, you know, get a fly out, sack fly, bring in a run. He's a run producer for sure.
Where did he primarily hit most of the year in the order?
Well, he started out in spring training. The A's, you know, lost, you know, Matt Olson to an injury a little bit, and Matt Chapman was dealing with some stuff. So he was hitting up around the 2-3 spots for a little bit. He ended up falling down to about 7-8. And he was kind of rotating there, the bottom third of the lineup. So that's where he was at most of the season. But to me, I think if he's, you know, performing to his capabilities, a guy, I think he's a perfect two spot guy right there. Just a guy who can battle and put together long at bats. He has the ability to do that.
Well, he no doubt has a talent. He's still very young. Martin, before I let you get out of here, Austin Allen's a good guy, came through the Padre organization, earned his way to the big leagues, didn't get much of an opportunity last year. I think he ended up hitting .215. You know, defense might be a little bit of an issue, but at the end of the day, what are his opportunities, you think, with the Oakland Athletics?
Yeah, I think he's got a legitimate shot here to win the backup catcher job here because – if you look at the current roster the A's have right now, they didn't tender a contract to Josh Fegley, who was their primary catcher last year. They have a top prospect in Sean Murphy, who they're really excited about, and I think he's going to take over that everyday role next year. But as far as who's going to back up Murphy, you know, Allen's right there in the mix. I mean, they've got guys like Jonah Heim, other prospects, no one who really stands out, no one who has a lot of experience in the majors. So Allen's going to be in that mix right now, and unless they go out and sign, you know, some veteran lefty. I think Allen being a left-handed hitter helps him as well because you could have that semi-platoon role there as well. But he's going to be a guy who's heavily looked at as that backup catcher.
Oh, that's good. Well, hey, I hope next week, Martin, we're going to be broadcasting down there on that second floor. If you're out and about, we'll grab you, at least be able to say hello and, you know, maybe stick you on the radio and give us an update on what the A's are doing at the winter meetings.
Yeah, sounds good. I look forward to it, guys.
All righty. Safe travels, and thanks for the time today.
No problem. Anytime.
There you go, Martin Gallegos, who covers the Oakland Athletics for the East Bay Times. Yeah, Braden, next week when we're down there, we're going to be grabbing guys right and left. I want to talk to every team in baseball. I want to have a representative on our show next week, whether it's a man who covers the team, an executive from the team, the manager of the team, general manager. I mean, we're going to go down there. We're going to bring out our fishing pole next week.
It's going to be a fun time. Down there for sure.
No question about it. We're going to be getting to bench the coach here momentarily. Give me an update on that poll. I'm anxious to see what the fans are thinking on that Aztec poll today. And again, we've got a poll up. If you want to give us a call at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We've got a poll up on our Twitter at 973TheFanSD, 973TheFanSD. What kind of season do you think the Aztecs had? 9-3. You evaluate them. Great, good, disappointing. What do we got, Braden?
18% said great, 53% have said good, and 29% have said disappointing.
29% disappointing right now. I wonder how Rocky Long would react to that.
He would probably.
How do you think he'd react?
How would he react?
Yeah, do you think he'd be mad at the fans, that the fans just don't really see the big picture?
I don't know. I don't think Rocky gets bothered by things like that. Just focus on his ball club.
Yeah, but he's also come out and said, you know, people, yeah, we're disappointed, but we've also done some incredible things here over the last 10 years. And, you know, there are a lot of teams in the country that like to have 9 wins.
I think he's focusing on recruiting right now, like a lot of other coaches.
I would hope so. I would certainly hope so. Did you look around last night? I looked around for about, I don't know, 45 minutes. Like I said, my wife was at Disneyland, and me and Carney were there watching the football game, my dog. And I'm looking around to see where they're going to go to a bowl game. And, I mean, there's a bunch. There's more than just a Cheez-It Bowl. And they're talking about the New Mexico Bowl. I do not want to go to the New Mexico Bowl.
I'm out on the New Mexico Bowl.
How about the Las Vegas Bowl? You think they could get in there?
No, they won't. They're not the conference champion. That's where the conference champion goes. But you're not in the conference championship, so you don't get to go.
Okay.
So they're out on that deal.
Where's the Reddit Bowl?
The Reddit Bowl?
The Red Box Bowl? Yeah, where's the Red Box Bowl?
I think that's in San Francisco.
Is that there, too? They keep changing the name of that bowl game.
Yeah, it used to be the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl or something like that. Yeah. I'll look up the Mountain West tie-ins if you want.
Yeah, well, we can get to that here in a minute. We need to get to bench the coach right now. It is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. 2019 Pro Football Pick'em. Make your picks now for a chance at $1,000. Totally free to enter. Text football to 20357. Text football to 20357.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, let's get to today's Bench the Coach. Yesterday, we were talking about linebackers on the all-time team for the NFL. Today, we're going to talk about the defensive linemen. That's defensive ends and defensive tackles. There's 14 of them that have been elected to the all-time team, the 100 greatest players and the 10 greatest coaches, of course, in the league's 100-year
history. Oh, if they're going to leave somebody off like they left off Ray Nitschke yesterday. I'm still irritated by that one.
Yeah, get over Ray Nitschke. Competing today is Josh from Ramona. Josh is going to play for 4 tickets to the Seals home opener.
Hey, Josh, how are you today, buddy? Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Hey, I'm good, Coach. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, and good luck today.
Thanks, you too.
All right, Josh, let's see if you know what's going on in defensive linemen in the NFL history. Can you name me one of the 14 guys that are on the all-time league's 100-year team?
Yeah, I'm going to have to start with Mean Joe Green.
Mean Joe Green is one of the defensive tackles on the list. You are correct, Josh. On to you, Coach.
I'll go with the great David Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones is on there. In fact, Deacon Jones was one of the 4 unanimous decisions on the list. Josh, back to you.
I'll stick with nicknames and get...
Josh, you there?
Yeah, I'll have to stick with some nicknames here and go with Buck Buchanan.
Buck Buchanan is correct.
Hall of Famer, number 86 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
He was not unanimous, but he was on the list.
Kind of interesting. We had one of his running mates yesterday, Willie Lanier, a linebacker, was on the top 12 linebackers. Okay, I'm going to go with the great Reggie, the minister of defense, Reggie White.
That's correct. Reggie White is on the list, and we got one more for you. So, Josh, if you can name me one more defensive end or defensive tackle on the top 100 list, you will win tickets to the San Diego Seals home opener.
All right, cool. How about Doug Atkins?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Doug Atkins is correct.
You know what? That's a hell of an effort because, you know what, Josh? It wouldn't have surprised me if they would have forgot about Doug Atkins because he played so long ago, but he was a great football player.
Yeah, I actually just got to tune into this. I have been catching this like every night, the top positions. So
oh, that's
I
great. Well, hey, congratulations. We're going to give you that 4-pack of tickets to the Seals home opener. It's coming up on December 14th. And remind everyone, for more information, you can visit SealsLAX.com, SealsLAX.com. Josh, hang on. We're going to get all your information, and we'll get those tickets to you.
All right. Hey, thanks, Coach.
Hey, you're welcome. Good stuff.
That's a wrap. The coach has been benched. For now, a 97.3 The Fan.
We got time for the whole list, so do you want to get the...
Well, hang on. We got plenty of time. I've got to read the biggest fan because I don't want to go after 30 minutes, okay? Raul Gallardo Jr., you're our biggest fan today. You have 10 minutes to give us a call back at 833-288-0973. Congratulations. You've won a family 4-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan. Big night at SeaWorld, the Christmas celebration presented by Sprint. And be entered to win our grand prize, the perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Barry perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas. Dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Again, Raul Gallardo Jr., you have 10 minutes to give us a call in and claim your tickets. But if he doesn't call in on time, we're going to open it up to other fans. Yesterday we did it to the fifth caller, and so make sure you keep listening. If Raul Gallardo Jr. doesn't call in 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, we're going to open it up once again. All righty, Braden, let's go ahead and hear those names.
All right, defensive ends, Doug Atkins, Josh said, Bill Hewitt, Deacon Jones, unanimous decision, by the way, Gino Marchetti, another unanimous decision, Leroy Selman, Bruce Smith, and Reggie White. Those are the defensive ends. Defensive tackles, Buck Buchanan, which you guys said, Mean Joe Green, Bob Lilly, the TCU Horned Frog, Marilyn Olson, Alan Page, John Randall, and Randy White were the defensive tackles.
I'm glad Randy White's on there. You know, I was not a big Dallas Cowboy fan, but he deserves to be on that team. Bob Lilly, definitely. Merlin Olson, one of the greatest NFL linemen of all time, went on and worked for many years with Dick Enberg as his color analyst on NBC games. Merlin Olson, man, what a great player. When you were talking about those defensive linemen, two of those guys were from the L.A. Rams, from the fearsome foursome. You had Merlin Olson and you had Deacon Jones. Deacon Jones had so many sacks. I mean, that sack record, it'd be out of this world, but they didn't keep sacks back in those days.
Could you imagine if they had tape on those games, you go back and try to count all of his sacks?
Of course, they used to give guys concussions with the head slap. Head slap was legal at that time. I remember one time, I knew Deacon Jones just a little bit because he did some stuff on 690 when I was over there. He'd do a Friday night show, and he talked about one time, because he always did the head slap, one of the players that he went against had a screw sticking out of his helmet, so when he head slapped it, he punctured his hand.
Oh, wow. That's a way to combat the head slap.
Yeah, it certainly did. Players used to do some weird things with shoes and helmets and to try to hurt their opponents back in the day. Good stuff on that. That's a fun segment. I got to watch the NFL Network a little bit more.
Yeah, it's once a, I think every Friday they're doing this.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I got to get caught up. I'm waiting for that thing next week. I think it's next week. With a Belichick and Saban, I can't miss that.
That's going to be great.
Well, we got 2 hours in the books. We're going to be coming back the rest of the way. We're going to be taking your phone calls. Coach John Quintero, thanks for joining us each and every day right here on San Diego's sports station, number one station, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.